I think there are people here who know about riding on the wings of grace, and so we thank you, Lord. Our message this morning is coming from the 19th chapter of Matthew, verses 16 through 22. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these things I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Let us bow. Lord God, as we enter into your word, send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds. Help us to receive your word with reverence and joy, that it may shape our lives and draw us closer to you. May the Spirit guide us into all truth through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The man in this scripture was of great wealth. He had high social standing. And he was a devout Jew. He had gained his riches, whether honestly or dishonestly, we don't know. And he had recognized that he was a devout man of God. Everyone else recognized that also. He had invested his money wisely, and he had followed all God's great commandments. So what's the question he was so anxious to ask Jesus? He said, "How many more points until I can inherit it in eternal life? Just what else do I have to do? I've racked up so much in my life. What else do I need to just find to do so that we can get eternal life?" He was an eager little beaver, and he wanted to soak up all the wisdom that Jesus was about to impart. He wasn't sure how much more he would need to acquire, or what spiritual actions he might need to add to his already busy commandment schedule. But he was willing to carve out some time for more work if it would help him achieve eternal life. Imagine his shock when Jesus told him he didn't have room in his current state to receive eternal life. Jesus informed him he must embrace poverty if he was to achieve riches. It blew the man's world apart when Jesus declared, "You have to give up everything of worldly value to receive that which money and obeying religious laws cannot buy." Everything? He had to sell all? That would make him poor. The man didn't realize he already was poor. At the end of the day, all he really had was money and self-righteousness. See, we can't earn eternal life by adding things, but by giving up that which will hold us back. Jesus had presented the man with the challenge. Think about what you're asking. You are so rich, you don't know how to become poor for Christ's sake. You're still scrambling around seeking the things of this world. The rich man, who was following all the rules, had the sense to know that something was missing, and he was willing to go farther to attain eternal life. And Jesus stopped him from asking how far, and he said to him, "Go deeper, man." I like when churches are heavy into evangelizing so they can increase their numbers. But while we're waiting for our congregation to expand, let those of us who are already here grow in Christian maturity. And then we'll have something to show of the spiritual life of our church that compels others to want to join in with us. A poor woman looked lonely at the flowers, that grew in the king's garden, and she wanted to buy some for her sick daughter, But the king's gardener was spewing angry words at her, and he said, the king's flowers are not for sale. And at that very time, the king chanced to come by, and he plucked a bouquet and gave it to the woman, saying, it is true. The king does not sell his flowers, but he does freely give them away. See, eternal life is a gift. We can't pay for it. When I look at the menu in a fine dining establishment and see the price of lobster is market value, see, I don't need to ask how much it costs, because anything without a price listed is for people who can afford it. So Christ lays out the cost of discipleship so we'll know what we're getting ourselves into. Just as Jesus does not sell eternal life, we can't work for it either. He gives according to his infinite grace. Success in the world consists of making good deals and prudent investments. And likewise, finding religious rules is a deal that puts you spiritually ahead of the everyday garden variety Christian. Focus on doing suggests a belief that you can earn salvation through personal merit. So I hear somebody say, salvation has to cost something. If it's free, it's probably too good to be true. Eternal life must cost something. Getting something for free is like being on spiritual welfare. It sounds too easy. There must be a catch to it. You can't convince me to give up everything I have to follow Christ to receive eternal life. Eternal life is expensive. Hard to believe, right? But it's true. What the rich man wanted was a good life and the hope of eternity. Jesus reminded him that there is nothing good but the Father. Your money, no good. Your reputation, no good. Your bitter tears and groaning, no good. Your memory of all the Bible verses, no good. To receive what is good is to know God. We are saved to know God. And if we want to spread eternity, then we need to be in the presence of God. We need to know his credentials. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When I was a child, I was told, now be a good girl and clean up the kitchen or make your bed or do your homework. I had to do something to prove I was a good girl. Today, I find myself looking for approval from the world by trying to be a good girl. When I'm bone weary, I still get up and go to church on Sunday because that's what good girls do. I put other things on my credit card so I can pay my tithe because that's what good girls do. I'll do whatever it takes to avoid going to hell. I want to be a good girl. However, when I remember that only the Father is good, I know I can't do enough to be a good girl or a good friend or a good preacher. I can't work hard enough to be a good Christian or a spiritual powerhouse. I can't pray high enough to be considered a good prayer warrior. So why not give up trying to be good and step out on faith? Give up trying to be the best little Christian warrior in Ebenezer and become the most obedient servant in Austin. Eternal life is a present reality and a future promise. We're encouraged to enter in with all we are and ever hope to be. Future eternal life begins with a right now relationship with God. I like to think that this time on earth is a practice run and heaven is a finish line. We're saved, but we see paradise in the distance. The joy is in the journey because we know we will win the race. Nothing can stop us but the devil. And in case you haven't received the news, Satan has been defeated. And a fatal blow also has been struck for death, who is riding shotgun with Satan. So there's nothing between today and eternity but our coach, Jesus Christ, bidding us still to fight on. Let us examine our understanding of salvation. Following the example of Christ is our response to being saved. That's our thank you for God giving us the chance to live forever with him in eternity. Enter the race with faith, a measure of faith given to you by our Savior. We can't make up faith. So stop saying, if only I had more faith. You have your appropriate amount of faith. You don't need more. Even if your faith is just the size of mustard seed, that's what God felt you needed. What you can accomplish through faith is being able to understand that God gives the increase so that you can move mountains. We don't need to have more faith. What we need is more of Christ Jesus, because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And we have no righteousness except for that which we received when Jesus died for us. The rich man was given a challenge of exchanging his obvious wealth for faith. The thing that is not seen. The thing that exists only when we trust God's promises. Now, while I have your attention, I'd like to share this with you. There's another kind of weight that will hold you back. And that is the overabundance of burdens you allow to hold you captive. Money, fame, reputation, and recognition may not be what we need to give up. Perhaps it's that self-pity that keeps you from following Christ. Maybe a life of misfortune has shaken your very being. The quilt of your existence may have gaping holes of sorrow and consequences of bad decision-making and ragged edges of challenges and temptation. There's stained pieces of cloth that show the hardships you've endured, the emptiness of life that came when you experienced the weight of illness, and the death of a loved one, or times when you endured pain so great you just wanted to quit trying. Then there were the threadbare areas of the quilt that represent lonely nights when you criticize yourself for wrongs you've done, the things that you remember about false accusations that were made against you, and the judgmental stares you received, the betrayal of family members and friends, and times when trust was broken. And then Christ came to you and said, sell all that unhappiness. Leave it in the past and follow me. Let me give you the strength to pick up and begin again. Stay on your knees in prayer, and if you ever regret getting rid of all that darkness in your life, I will gladly refund your misery. Jesus did tell the rich man that one thing he lacked was knowing what being rich is truly about. Sell all you have and give to the poor. There are those who are poor in spirit and waiting to hear a word of encouragement from you. Stop planning for your church meeting and find time to feel the needs of those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. In these things, we find the riches of the kingdom. Salvation requires that we be good followers so we're able to give with open hands. We can't enjoy what Jesus does for us until we figure out who Jesus is. Jesus is the strength of our lives. We can't live a good life until we're willing to serve the poor. Jesus is the undeniable bread of life. Jesus wants us to see our love in action, promoting justice and displaying honesty and showing respect, reflecting the light of Christ Jesus. Jesus wants to see a transformed life. When we leave, all we have is hope. I sometimes think of the Christian race as a field practice. We work hard to increase our endurance. We pray and we study the word. We stay in the company of other believers. And then there's homework. We have to pray and study the word and stay in the fellowship of believers, but we also have to obey the commandments. We have to feed the poor. We have to love one another as God has loved us. And above all, get over yourself. You are not all that. If Jesus withdraws his grace from you, you will be nothing but a resounding gong or a clinging cymbal. The rich man wants to be fulfilled, and unfortunately, he may have been full of himself. He may have been a rule follower, and perhaps a religious fanatic. Religion can slow you down on this Christian journey. Somebody's mad that I said that. But religion has rules to tell you what to love and who to stay away from. My favorite takeaway from devout Christianity is this: I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. Well, think about it. Jesus loves the sinner but hates the sin. The sinner is you and me. Christ died for us because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. After all, it was the sin of all of us that nailed Jesus to the cross. Free that favorite sinner you've bound and chained because of his or her sin that you don't like. Jesus loves us despite our sin. Go ye and do likewise. Jesus told the rich man to give up everything he had and follow. Wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus is not talking about being poor of possessions, because heaven knows we need the rich. I can't donate a hospital or a school. I can't fund charities that save millions of lives each year. But what Jesus wants the rich man to do is act in love without holding anything back. Leave your hands open so God can take that which he needs to serve his creation. Hold your riches with an open hand. No one who is tied to possessions or religious law is free to follow. So to the one who is given much, much is required. The rich man went away sad because there had been no one to shed the light on his condition. Jesus had laid something heavy on his mind and he needed time to absorb it. Too many of us think the man was sad because he didn't want to give up all he had. We don't know what he was thinking when he turned to leave. How would you feel if Jesus came to you and with that same demand he made of the rich man? Do you think Jesus intended for him to do all that day? Sell all he had, give to the poor, and follow him? My friends, Jesus is more gracious than that. First, he opens our eyes. Then he opens our hearts. And then he opens our hands. We place a great burden on ourselves when we don't immediately change all that's wrong with us to follow Jesus. Even when Jesus died, his disciples still were struggling with doubt and fear and the urge to run. Yet in their raggedy state, Jesus continued to bid them follow his teachings. We should be willing to surrender more of self each day to receive more of Christ forever. We need that. What we have is a rich man who went away sad because he had just been confronted with the cost of true discipleship. He knew nothing when he came except for, I need to find something else to do to get eternal life. He went away sad because of the new information that would turn his whole world upside down. He went away sad because he had to consider what eternal life is really worth. When we examine the cost of true discipleship, we also may go away sad. Jesus' disciples were listening to this conversation between Jesus and the rich man. Perhaps they went away sad too because they wondered if they'd been truly giving up enough for their worldliness to be counted worthy to follow Jesus Christ. Going away sad just might be the beginning of wisdom. Doing away with sad may be the turning point to seeking the riches of the kingdom. We don't experience the glory of eternal life until we experience the sadness and loneliness of worldly wealth and strict adherence to the law. We all possess something we need to do away with. We still should be doing more for those who need. We follow Jesus because Jesus has much to teach us about those in need. And Jesus wants to teach us to surrender, to give it away. And that's what he did after the rich man left. He taught his disciples about the trappings of being wealthy. And Jesus is still teaching us. I just hope the rich man returned to learn more about the good news. He went away sad, but there is life after sadness. There's a morning that comes that makes all that sadness worthwhile. So make room in your life for the gospel. We all have a testimony about what we've had to give up in order to follow Christ. But trust me, the more Christ-like we live, the more this world we will surrender. Every time the Spirit moves in you, realize that there is more joy waiting for you right around the corner. I'm not sure I want to walk away happy because I finally got it all right. I want to leave room to grow. I don't ever want to be content that I know it all. When I become perfect in my own eyes, I become less beneficial for God to use. So by faith, we tread the path of eternal life. There is no special privilege. There's no reservating no reservation, no assigned seating. What we have is free and safe passage to our home in glory. And because of Jesus' sacrifice, we're already traveling first class. What are your priorities? Are you willing to give up those things on earth that keep you from receiving the salvation that you can't lose? Are you willing to stop counting your worldly worth and start counting your blessings? Keep it all and take a chance on losing your soul. Surrender all and receive eternal life. Deal or no deal. What are you willing to spend time on? Are you willing to spend your time with the Lord? Are you nursing your belongings instead of your soul? If you have a desire to follow Jesus, what I'll ask you to do is come to the altar now. Come to the altar and say so. I need Jesus in my life. Receive him today, because you don't have to go away sad. Pledge your life to the only one who can assure you of eternal life. The door of the church is always open. We invite you to join with the family of God here at Ebenezer, or we will help you find another church home. Wherever you go, Jesus is waiting. If you're here in Austin for school or for a short while, we encourage you to join our family here at Ebenezer under watch care. That means we'll be here to help guide and encourage you, especially in your spiritual life. We will be your home away from home. And if you're online and want to join, please enter your name in chat. We'll contact you and make it happen. Those who are ready, come. Those who are willing, come. We've had one to come, and I'll let him tell his own story, what it is that he would like to take away from Ebenezer and what we can give to him. I would like to share with you that we do have a member who joined. One of us is bedridden, Mr. Wilkins. He's the father of Sister Michelle Small.
And we hope to be able to do communion with him on first Sunday, his first communion with Ebenezer. So please pray for him, pray for the family. We're glad to have him among us. It was a happy occasion. I'd never done it before. So we had a good time and we sang out of tune, but we sang. And so we're just happy for him. And let's pray for Michelle and her family and her kid, her grandkids and her children. And make sure that we encourage everyone, whether they're bedridden or whether they're able-bodied or halfway between or have a reasonable portion of health and strength. Sometimes I can do it, but sometimes I can't. And we just thank you so much for considering joining the family of God. Being a part of the body of Christ is what keeps us strong. Holding hands with one another is what keeps us strong. And we can't do that unless we give our lives to Christ. And so I am so happy for Brother Wilkins. Well, Brian, at this time, come and say a word about what these students are doing.
Thank you, Sister Janice. It's a pleasure to be here, and this is an unexpected surprise to have the opportunity to present to you. This group of students are visiting Austin Community College for 2 weeks. They're on a project-based learning experience, and the project is to work in small teams with ACC's neurodivergent students, students who might be on the spectrum of autism, to develop a project, a product, a retail product or service together, and then to give a presentation at the end of the visit in partnership with the neurodivergent students. And so the product itself will be sort of focused on the neurodivergent consumer market. It's all hypothetical, but it's a great way to step outside of your usual, you know, dealings in life to sort of see another side of the population, the community, and hopefully to foster core values like empathy, understanding, tolerance. So that's the goal of the project. Of course, while they're here also, they'll be seeing the Central Texas, visiting high school students, peers of their same age, and it'll be done before they know it. You know, they arrived yesterday. They got off the bus. They went to UT to a football game. I mean, they only had like 10 minutes to get off the bus, to the hotel, drop the luggage, hop on the bus, go to the game, and then make the service this morning. So it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for welcoming us very much.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. You could have gone out and eaten, but you didn't. You came and worshiped with us, and so we appreciate that.
Good morning, Ebenezer. We have this morning, I'm going to get him to pronounce his name.
Loïc Hoedenvangers.
Okay. And he's from the Netherlands, and he's going to be traveling through, and his next stop is in Houston, but he has, he wants prayer and he wants to learn about things, during his time here. So he's come to the right place to learn all the things that he needs to know. Is that right? Okay.
Thank you. Whatever he said his name was, that's what it is. So thank you for coming to worship with us today, and whatever encouragement you, just whatever you need, we're here and welcome you with open arms.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So we've got your information and you'll be on our hearts and our minds. As we get ready to depart, let's think about what it is that Christ has asked us to do. Give up all we have. Open your hands so that it will be something that God can easily pluck out for the people in need, and follow him.